Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment. Last week on the Glass Cannon podcast.
Oh no, they are not real. This is just as I suspected.
The heroes discovered the secret of Seven Arches.
I know that the real Seven Arches are hidden somewhere south in the Wildwood.
And at the direction of a strange ally.
Within moments, a full-sized horse comes bounding into the room. And there's a halfling atop it just knocking shit off of the table.
What?
Walls. But anyways, I'm Lemmerfeldthorn.
They set off into the wild.
And you head into the Wildwood. Right now it's late afternoon and you want to get out to make good headway because you'll have to camp out in the Wildwood at night.
But when an unnatural darkness descended...
It's possible it's an illusion.
It's always possible with Faye. Everything could be an illusion. Everything you see, everything you hear.
Danger crept from the shadows.
I cut the grass with my kopesh.
You see something moving in the thick grass, and suddenly it just appears like 20 feet away from you in a second. And it looks like a hound. Except its eyes.
Oh no!
Giant black pools.
Oh no!
The adventure continues now.
Now, you probably know this, that these shows are pre-recorded in our brand new studio here in the heart of Astoria, Queens. This is a borough of New York. There are five of them. Did you know that, Skid?
Burrow?
Burrow, yes.
I'm having like a rabbit burrow?
Matthew, did you know there are five boroughs in New York?
I didn't know that.
Name two of them.
Brooklyn, Manhattan.
Yeah, you hesitated for a second.
Yeah, you were like,
you know why I hesitated?
Because Long Island a borough?
No, I hesitated because I went to say Staten Island and I was horrified at myself.
Oh my God.
So you've named three.
I've not named three.
Kate, do you know the other two?
Wait, you said Brooklyn, Manhattan, and what else did we say?
Staten Island.
Oh, Queens.
And
very good, because that's where
Bronx.
We are now.
And the Bronx.
Well, it's one of, what, am I supposed to say it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't laugh at me.
Staten Island shouldn't be a borough. I've said it before. Whoa. I'll say it again. New Jersey is a bunch of cowards, and they should have taken it when they had the chance.
No thanks.
Wow. 90% of our fan base is from New Jersey or Staten Island.
We're huge on Staten Island.
You're like Doja Cat right now.
I'm just kidding. They don't even have the internet there.
You know the story. You know the story about Staten Island, right?
No, tell us. Regale us.
Two rich guys. Staten Island was owned by no one
Staten
at one point.
Staten Island?
Staten and Island. Two rich men.
The guys from The Muppet Show. They would make fun of.
Look at the frog.
And they came together and they said, let's call it Staten Island. No, they did a boat race around the island, I'm pretty sure, or like around Manhattan. And one was from Jersey and one was from New York. And they were like, whoever wins gets it. And then New York won.
That can't be true.
It is absolutely true.
New York won the news channel?
Yep.
I'm really confused.
Yeah, I don't think there were three boats.
How many?
There was Staten Island and New York won?
Oh my God, the boat race that claimed Staten Island.
Yes. It is truly like two men, you know, like, let's go to fisticuffs, you see? Like, who will win? And they just raced a boat. And it, I truly think it should have gone to New Jersey. It doesn't make any sense to have an island that's already, there's some other islands. And they're like, you got to take a ferry to get there unless you drive. Like, there's no other way to get to Staten Island from New York.
Maybe the loser got New Jersey. That seems like a fair trade.
90% of our fans are from New Jersey.
I'm disappointed that Pat Kiernan apparently lost because I would think he would be better at sailing than that.
Let me just quickly Google Skid's reference.
That was a joke. That's a New York one.
That joke was only for Nick Lowe. That's right. He's the only one that would get that.
But if you see any movie that takes place in New York
over
the last 20 years, you will see Pat Kiernan in that movie.
He's in the background on a TV giving the news.
Yeah. Well, this is something that people who never lived in New York may not realize. Two things. One, there's a channel called New York One that has just constant news all day long, and it repeats itself and then like changes later in the day. And there's also, and I don't think they do this anymore, there used to be a free porno channel.
Oh, yeah. No.
You guys remember the porno channel?
What?
Were you living in New York during the free porno channel?
I remember hearing about it, but I've never seen it.
Al Goldstein, and you never saw...
Screw Magazine. Yeah,
you never heard of this? What? All right, so...
It was free?
All right, yeah, it was crazy. So I lived... The first time I lived in New York...
He's been paying for his porn this whole time.
I've been paying like that. He's like,
it was free.
Like,
cool.
Robin... what's her name? Robin...
William.
Givens.
Quivers or something. Yeah, anyways... There was a, I lived in New York. This was between my sophomore and junior year of college. So this is maybe 97, 98. I was doing an acting program out here at Circle in the Square. And I had a sublet with a couple of women that I went to college with. And you would just, at 10 o'clock, one of the channels would just turn from 10 until like 2 in the morning into a porno channel. And it wasn't like a full penetration type situation.
Soft.
Like medium boiled. It was like they would imply a lot. You'd see a lot, and then they just kind of move the camera. But it was like little talk shows with constant advertisements for like escorts and services where you could just like I can't remember. It's like 1-800 numbers. So like sex chats and escorts.
So every night at 10 o'clock, you and your roommates would flip to this joke.
Oh, no, they weren't there. I was
they weren't in the room?
They weren't in the room, but it was... The people who have lived in New York would know this. I mean, you remember this. It was Al Goldstein, and God, there was a show...
I want to Google this, but I'm not going
to. I'm not Googling.
Yeah, Al Goldstein. My friend Bob Fingerman, he used to work for Al Goldstein because he used to do illustrations for Screw Magazine, and he had a bunch of stories.
Al Goldstein, and I said Robin Quivers, but it wasn't Robin Quivers. Robin Bird, the Robin Bird show. Oh, Saturday Night Live did a whole skit making Sherry O'Terry played Robin Bird.
Yeah.
I have never heard of this.
I've never heard of this.
I will look this up later. Not at work.
incognito
computer.
Hey, Joe, can I borrow your computer for a second?
Yeah. Exactly.
Anyways, that was the thing. And I was like, what is going on in this American city? It was just free pornography.
Free porn.
But like, it was news related.
Was it like public access level?
It was public
or was
access.
It like from LA?
No. It was like public access, like
New York local pornography.
Yeah. Local porn?
There were new episodes that were shot, like the Robin Bird show, and for example.
You should bring this
She
back.
Would have on
did
like.
College used to be free, porn used to be free. And now, like, millennials, like, we don't get shit.
What does this world come to?
I think it stopped in, like, 2000.
I would imagine, yes.
I missed out on everything fun.
Missed out, too.
Yeah. Well, they used to have, like, you could have a strip club, like, right across the street from a public school, and they shut that down. So right around the time that stopped, it's probably like, really need to turn off this
it's like
horrible pornography.
They're sending the wrong message.
Or maybe funding dried up. They were like, we can keep Kino going. Or run this channel.
Well, then I guess it became pay-per-view. Then they were just like, I ain't got to pay for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll put it on higher channels.
And we should get
harder.
Some boxing on here.
Yeah.
Do you have a lot of porn subscriptions, Joe?
Yeah, so I to hear that something's free is shocking to me. Shocking.
No. I've been paying top dollar for you.
The worst luck.
What? I know, exactly. If only I would have known. Yeah, that is just wild to me. Like,
wild. Brought,
it was a different time.
It was.
It was a different time.
It's like 97, 98. I was like, the city is crazy. Yeah.
I remember being a kid and trying to see
the scrambled porn,
the scrambled the like Spice Cinemax, at like midnight, like through a channel we didn't own. Yeah, so if you didn't own a channel, it wasn't just like a digital thing would pop up and be like, you have to purchase this channel. Yeah. It would just be like, you couldn't scrambled get the signal. Like,
maybe you could make all, right. I think I saw like, a nipple.
I think that's
nipple.
A boob. Like,
it's either a nipple or a doorknob.
But it was like, it was like neon purple. And then it would all of a sudden change and the colors would invert and then it would be, and you'd be like, whoa.
Yeah, exactly.
I watched WrestleMania too.
Seriously? You're like, I think I know what's going on.
I think that's a nipple.
I think that's Hulk Hogan's nipple. Where's that King Kong Bundy? Did you guys like sneak to watch TV, whether it was sexual or other as a kid, or were your parents just absentee and you could watch whatever?
I could pretty much watch whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
I always had to sneak. I remember having, oh my God, this is like going way back. I remember watching Jay Leno, like early Leno, on a TV that was, all right, so the screen was about this big.
Your dad would come this up with a belt.
We're all Letterman House. Super long. I was not allowed to watch like late night TV. It was like, lights out. Military household. No, not really. But
for the audio audience, Joe is indicating a screen that's about 4 inches.
It's about 4 inch screen, okay? And it was about this deep. It was like a box, this deep.
4 or 5 feet.
And it had little like legs that came down.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It had an antenna. So, and it had, it took like 6 D batteries in the bottom. No, it's like,
how long did it last? An hour?
Yeah, it lasts like 2 or 3 nights. Then I'd be like, did I need another 6 D batteries? Like, what for? Like, my wiffle ball bat. Like,
were you a sneaker? Did you have
Eventually, we had a TV down in the basement, and which was it was very convenient because I'd be like, I'm going to go do my homework down in the basement, which I did. But I also got to watch a lot of great movies that I probably shouldn't have watched.
Yeah.
But it was like, I there wasn't a lot of like, we didn't have the Spice Channel.
Yeah.
It was like, I got to watch HBO. So there was, you know, it was real sex, but mostly I just wanted to watch the movie.
Oh, real sex. Right. Yeah.
Real sex. Yeah. That was informational is what it was.
Yeah.
You learned a lot.
Weirdly, I found that more disturbing than like Oz.
It was one of the least sexy shows.
It was not very
on cable.
Titillating.
No.
Kate, did you sneak TV when you were a kid?
I had a television in my room that was much smaller than whatever Joe described.
Was it a phone? Was it an iPhone?
No, it was still like phone. One of those, like, it had a depth
a tube
to it.
Yeah.
And it was like,
CRT.
Not, my fingers aren't touching. That's not how small it was. It was probably like a little bigger than like my laptop screen or something. I'd watch Ghost Hunters a lot with my friends.
That's cute.
And just like whatever. I don't know. Yeah.
Your parents come in and be like, can't turn off that stuff. Ghost on real.
Yeah, no, Ghost on real. Turn that off. You're going to chapel tomorrow.
Oh, man.
My parents are so mad.
I'm not going to tell you ever again.
They reacted so strongly to ghosts. Maybe they were ghosts.
You just freaked out.
Just like replaying my childhood. But no, like there was never any like weird rules around TV. I guess I didn't abuse it, but like I would leave it on to fall asleep and stuff. So uneventful.
That was always my favorite when I could get away with it.
Yeah.
What about you, Sydney? I imagine you had some secret shame as a child.
Oh, yeah.
Shame is a useless emotion.
Here we go.
Shame and guilt are not real. They're useless emotions tied to sadness and anger.
It's not true.
Watch you by the patriarchy.
As my therapist would say.
We're like three Catholics at the table who are just like, oh.
I also didn't grow up particularly religious. So maybe like watching porn, I was kind of like, I don't know. It's fine.
You'd watch it with your folks.
Yeah.
They're like, Sydney, it's 10. Get in here,
come on in.
No, it's free.
Robin Bird is on. It's time to learn about life.
Favorite, Sid.
Robin Bird is on.
No, when I was a child, sure, TV was like, you know, you could only watch it at certain times. Like we watched, you know, VHSs of movies and that would be like your TV for the night. But when I was in middle school or high school, we had like a family room with a TV. It wasn't that weird to just watch TV. My parents didn't really care. During the day, I think they'd be like, get outside, stop watching TV, no matter what season it was. But at night, I would stay up late. I was a total night owl all through college, all until probably like 25 or 26 when like my brain shifted and I had to wake up early. But I used to watch horror movies late at night. And I loved horror movies, but I would scare myself so badly that it would be like 11:30 when it would end. And I would be on my couch in the pitch black alone. And I would be like, I can't get up. I can't go up the stairs right now to my bed. So I would then go to, was it on Comedy Central? No, it was on, I watched Robot Chicken, which came on at
Adult
midnight.
Swim.
Adult Swim.
Adult Swim.
Yeah.
Adult Swim. I watched Robot Chicken, which came on at midnight to ease myself. So my secret TV routine that I don't even know if my parents ever knew. If they did, they'd come down and be like, go to bed. It's midnight on a school night. But I would watch a horror movie and then I'd be like, I'm too scared. And then I would watch Robot Chicken and be like, okay, I feel better.
Palate cleanser.
I'm sure the demons are out of the house now.
Yeah, they were frightened away by the chicken.
They were frightened away by the hilarious comedy.
And that's why their vibe. I love dark comedy.
Yeah, there you go. Oh.
Did you have to sneak skid to watch some stuff?
No, my mom was like, we didn't have cable, but that was usually in the summers. Like I would be up until like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning and I would plan out my evening. I would just like, I would look in the TV guide and I would try to find, I loved old movies. I would try to find any movie that was made before like 1966. And I would just like, that's what I would do. And
why
I got
66?
To
66. Was that like a leap forward in cinema or something?
Yeah, it was just like that sort of like Easy Rider, New Hollywood Revolution. It was just, I wanted something like, it was more comforting for me to watch like something black and white, because that's the older Thin stuff. Man. And it got to the point where I now today, like I can watch any movie and I can watch a couple minutes of it, whether I've seen it before or not. And I can guess within 2 years what year it was made.
Whoa.
Wow. Wow. That's a cool skill.
Yeah,
it is a cool skill.
Let's put it to the test.
Let's do it right now.
I just mentioned The Thin Man by Orson Welles. What year?
The Third Man by Orson Welles?
Oh, The Thin Man.
Man is not Orson Welles.
Yeah, that's...
They're both good movies.
Yeah, David Niven is The Thin Man.
Wow, really showing your ass right now.
Wow, how embarrassing. This is like a real cinema guy.
What am I thinking of?
The Third Man.
Third Man?
The
Third
You worked Man. At Kim's!
I did!
The Thin Man isn't that...
No, it's not. Yes.
Nick and Nora, right?
I guess so it's The Third
Man.
The Third Man.
Now it's the Google's man. Not working. Yes. Now
it's William Powell and Myrna Loy.
Yeah.
Here's one. The Third Man.
The Third Man. 1946?
49.
Pretty damn good.
Not too shabby. I wasn't allowed to watch MTV. I've probably talked about this before, and I really wanted to watch MTV.
Yeah, nor was I.
Just because I went to my first school dance in like the fifth grade, and everybody knew all the lyrics. I'm like, how do these people know all these songs? I've never heard any of these. But my parents didn't want to see... women being exploited, and they wanted me to see that, so they didn't let me watch it. So I'd sneak, and then sometimes I'd be like, this is inappropriate. But
like,
how
you
else?
Can't watch that until they stop exploiting women.
Right.
And you never got to watch TV ever.
No, and then they just, we can't, we're either going to, they stop making music videos. Because they're like, we can't make these without exploiting women.
That's why they stop.
We'll just stop.
So that's why. That's all why. Right.
We can't
so then
make these.
So then Teen Mom, obviously.
Right.
And,
from that birth to Teen Mom.
We'll exploit teens.
It was called the White Snake Effect.
But I do, I was a good kid. I had a heavy conscience. I didn't like sneaking, but there were certain things I wanted to see.
Oh my God. I was so good. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like it's ridiculous to look back. I wasn't allowed to watch rated R movies. Mm-hmm. And I remember being like 12 years old and being like at a friend's house with like three other friends.
Dude, same.
And somebody being like, let's watch Friday the 13th or something, you know, like.
Let's watch Barton Fink.
What's Blood Simple? And I remember being like, I can't.
I have to leave the room.
It's rated R. Yeah, I can't. And I would like leave and get on my bike and go home. Because I was so scared of my parents finding out.
Yeah. I just...
And then my friends were like, you are a loser. Yeah. Loser.
Yeah, I thought I was a good kid. And I've heard your stories. So I'm like, you guys are just... Something wrong with you.
Yeah, I don't know if it's natural or if it was
the upbringing. I'm not sure. Yeah, but I have such a guilty conscience. It's like, I can't do it.
My mom would get annoyed with me when I watched horror and other scary stuff, not because she thought I shouldn't be watching it, but because it would give me nightmares. Yeah. And she would be like, just go to sleep. And I'm like, I can't. They're like in the room with me.
Just stop it.
she was just like, now I understand. Like, if Mira were to like not sleep through the night, I'm like, God, this is the worst. And that's really all she cared about. She didn't care about my brain.
No.
Yeah, I had the same conscience as you, and I don't know what it was. If it was like fear of my parents or fear of God.
Fear of God, yeah.
I remember at a baseball cookout, they put on American Ninja. And I was like, I have to go home. And I just sat in the other room because my parents weren't there while they all watched American Ninja.
And yet, despite those consciences, the two of you just turned out to be complete assholes. How'd that work out?
You have to go the other way.
Yeah, the pendulum.
You rebel.
It's called growing up, which you're all about to do right after this quick break. This is going to be a big ep today. This is going to separate the men from the boys, as they say. Once again, I want to thank our sponsors, Demiplane, Norse Foundry, and Foundry VTT, all of which
you're going to see today.
Will be on full display today. And also, I should mention, follow us on social media. We are at Glass Cannon Pod on X, formerly known as Twitter. And we are, what are we on Instagram? We are the
glass. I didn't even say X.
The glass cannon.
Just call it Twitter.
Just call it Twitter.
By the time this comes out, it's probably not even going to be around. But follow us. You should follow us. We put a lot of stuff
on
there.
Follow us on the
floating, blue sky whatever the fuck.
And the TikTok, right?
We're on the TikTok. We're the glass cannon on Instagram. And what are we on TikTok? I don't have notes.
Probably the glass cannon, right?
You want to look it up?
Yeah, let's look it up right now. We have a very active TikTok. We are at Troy LaValle. No, that's not.
That's not right.
Follow us at Troy LaValle, at Glass Cannon Network on TikTok. And, we're on Facebook, too. Give us a follow. And, of course, subscribe on YouTube. It's free. And we're on Twitch. We have a million shows we put out every week on twitch.tv.
/TheGlassCannon.
Twitch.tv/TheGlassCannon. I don't know what the hell I'm talking
about. Someone get this man some notes.
Just Google us. Go to the website.
If you go to our website, it's all there.
Yeah.
All
the little icons.
I am buying time right now because I am very worried about what is about to go.
Me too.
We've had three very nice apps where we got to learn a lot about these characters, maybe get a little hint of a mystery here. Mm-hmm. Mystery,
some role-playing, some thievery.
Yeah.
Always fun.
A little bit of thievery, a little bit of B&E.
a little fake vomiting.
Yeah.
Everyone loves a good fake vomit.
A lot of fake vomit.
Sure, we'll see more of that.
Ladies' night. You know, it's a lot of fun. And now it's just like, and you're all going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is really 2E. We've been playing it for a while. It's a very unforgiving system.
Don't tell people that.
You can't. There's not a lot of room for error. So it'll be interesting to see how this team synergizes because you don't have long to figure this out.
Let me reword that. We'll see if this team synergizes.
If this team synergizes. And if not, you'll know exactly what character to make for your backup. Wow. We really didn't need a cleric. We just needed another fighter.
We were saying off air how well everyone was coming together as a team, as new characters, and like everyone is fitting so well.
Oh, yeah.
The puzzle.
I love the characters.
And now that we're in combat, I'm like, fuck.
Well, yeah, this is the true test, right? All right, here we go.
So, just a quick flashback.
Fireball.
Last week, you
fireball.
You tested the archways that are in the middle of Seven Arches, and you brought the aura recorder back to Fianara Karalestri at the caravanserai. That's a lot of words. And she said, just as I thought, illusion magic without a hint of conjuration. Those arches aren't real. And it confirmed her suspicions that the true Seven Arches are deep within the Wildwood Forest, which is south of the city, a couple days south of the city. She believes it to be there. That's why the Oak Stewards don't let anybody go in there, not just because it's unsafe. It's because they're trying to protect their secret, the real Seven Arches. And she also let you know that they're, or no, she isn't. She didn't let you know. She said, you need to go make friends with the Oak Stewards. I think they're going to be able to help you. You need their assistance if you ever want to go in there and go talk to them. I think they're going to help you out. So she gives you a bark writ to go talk to a halfling, a member of the Oak Stewards by the name of, what the hell was her name? Lemma Feldthorn. I put her in your journal, by the way. She comes bounding into the hall on top of a full-size horse.
That was, mounted.
Mulberry.
Mulberry, calm down.
In my mind, she was like 70, and she's actually rather young.
Got a big scar on her face. She tells you, okay, you know our secret. That's fine. I'm going to give you the bark writ so the Oak Stewards will let you traverse the Wildwood. But here's the deal. On the night of the missing moment, all of the guards that were around the real arches stepped through. They were compelled to step through just as you were. Only one returned. A bit of a rebel Oak Steward by the name of Bolan Nagaso. She goes into her whole history about this guy, but it seems that he is staging a coup. Or preparing to stage a coup. He's been sneaking into town, rallying Oak Stewards and citizens to his cause, and doing something, perhaps some sort of ritual with the real gates. She doesn't know, but he stole the Shadewither key, which was the key that they used to activate the gates. He came in, stole it. It's a big problem. So if you help them deal with that, then they will be at your disposal. So you go into the Wildwood. The Oak Stewards roll up on you. You show them the bark writ, and they let you pass. On the midday, late midday of day two, it starts getting darker than it should be a little earlier in the day. And you see these tall grasses that you have to wade through that come like up to your waist almost. And way in the distance, you see a 50-foot tall arch with maybe some smaller arches around it. I don't know if I mentioned that. And some sort of activity up there. Talitha listens closely, hears some rumbling, but it's so far away, you don't know what's going on. You just know you need to get there. So you start wading through these grasses. It's getting darker and darker. And suddenly, Lucky sees a Gorga. For the first time in Glass Cannon Podcast Campaign 2, roll for initiative! This roll for initiative is brought to you by Norse Foundry. Skid, what do we need to know about Norse Foundry?
Norse Foundry is an incredible dice maker. They make art dice, and these dice are for all of your random number generating needs.
I've activated a new map here on Foundry VTT. You guys can check out the map, and if you listen closely, you will hear sound sets that are added to the map.
You told me this might happen.
Yeah. We don't have to use them. We won't use them all the time.
I like this.
Joe's on the ones and twos, but the premium Gatewalkers pack for Foundry VTT includes sounds.
That's really cool.
For this specific scene.
This is awesome, because really cool. You describe the grass as being high, and if you listen very closely, you can hear, like...
Well, I can also bring it up
like
a little.
Grass being moved. It is cool. There's a lot of little layers.
This is the little thing I find incredibly impressive is that Brother Ramius is standing halfway under the shade of this tree.
Oh, and he's in shadow.
His token has half of his in shadow.
That's really cool.
That's really cool that you can see that. I can't see shit. Because I don't have dark vision. Or low light vision. So it's like, it's really dim for me. Like, I can see, but it's really dim.
This is so immersive. This is really cool.
Let's show everybody, for example, CJ, show them what Buggles sees versus what Lucky sees, for example.
Lucky, do you have low light vision?
I have low light.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I thought I had.
And then show them what Brother Ramius sees, and everyone will turn the stream off. Just a black screen.
Oh, it broke. Oh, the stream.
Stream's down. Outage.
Stream's down.
All right. Well, speaking of Brother Ramius, what is your initiative?
22 for
Brother Ramius. For Brother Ramius.
I never heard of a cleric that quick.
What about Talitha Breakwater?
16.
16 for Talitha. Wow, first initiative. You never forget your first initiative.
You never do, do you?
Dude, start off strong, brother.
Buggles.
Buggles got a 9.
9 for Buggles, okay. Zephyr.
I rolled a natural 20.
Oh my goodness.
I'm excited, but then I feel like that means I gotta go first, so I'm less excited about that.
That's great.
I guess, yeah, but yeah. I gotta play my character first. 23.
Yeah, no pressure. You just have to be perfect and first. Lucky.
I rolled bad. I got a 10.
Womp, 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 womp. Okay. All right, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to reveal to you the presence of these Gorgas, plural.
Oh, damn it.
You see now two Gorgas.
Oh, boy. They're flanking us.
Oh, you flanked. Oh, you flanked.
Not mechanically.
Oh, no.
Let me just begin the encounter, Zephyr. You have the con.
All right.
Oh, no. I'm not ready.
Here we go.
It's happening.
First move. We're in the middle of these two Gorgas. I kind of want to move out from in the middle of their lines. So I'm going to go, what's this, northeast? Maybe. Ooh, there we go. Yep. Yeah.
Ooh, nice slide.
And she's got her longbow out because we were sleuthing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's canon. So she's going to enter her monastic archer stance. She cool. sinks her feet into the ground, has her bow out, drawn, aiming at that Gorga to the north there.
Yep.
And she's going to release a flurry of blows.
Oh, that's so cool. Oh,
with her longbow.
With her longbow. So it's one action, two arrows.
All right, nice. Let me show you what your target is there. You can see.
Oh!
Nasty looking something.
They really do look like hounds. That's horrifying.
Socketless eyes.
Yeah.
Eyeless sockets.
Giant socketless. Yeah. Giant.
Eyeless.
Black. Eyeless sockets.
Sockets.
I also didn't picture them like as shredded as this dog is. This looks like a well-built guard dog.
Yeah.
Damn.
All right, fire away there.
Okay.
Zephyr.
So, two unarmed strikes. Hold on. I've never played a character like this, so I'm like, ooh. So, D20. And then that's going to be my dex modifier.
Here we go.
Here we go. Wait. Hold on.
So excited.
Wait.
Wow.
Skills and actions.
Is that you reaching for your bow? Like your quiver? You're like,
okay,
wait,
so my first attack. Okay, I was looking for my bonuses for my first attack. Okay, so that's 19 for my first attack.
That is a
hit. Longbow.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yes. Nice. Oh my gosh, you did it!
So, that's 1d8. Where's my d8?
So nerve-wracking.
I know. Okay, so that's 4... damage.
Damage, okay.
Okay, and then one more, and that's going to be at a -4 or +3. Oh, no, so that's a 6 total for my second attack. I rolled a natural 3.
A 6 total? Oh, brutal. That is actually a critical failure.
Oh, no.
But in this case, I think we're going to do the same rules for the live show. A natural 1, we'll do a fan fumble.
Oh, we're doing fan?
Yeah, I think we should.
Oh, I'm not prepared for that.
But not for this, because that wasn't a natural 1. It was just a critical failure.
Okay. I didn't know we were bringing the fans into this.
Well, we'll see. Maybe you guys will never roll crits, but... maybe we won't. We'll see.
I'm down.
And then a true natural 20, you'll get a fan critical. All right, so the second attack is a miss. Now, is that 3 actions? You strode in 2, or is that only 1 action to shoot both of those?
That was 3 actions, because entering my monastic stance. Archer stance is 1 action.
Sweet. Hell of a round there for old Zephyr. And now it is Gorga 1's turn. Gorga 1 is going to stride up to Talitha.
Oh.
A stride right up to Talitha with its first action, and then it is going to bite. Actually, here's what you notice in the darkness here, since you have dark vision. It goes to bite not at your body, but at your actual shadow that you're casting on the ground.
Why?
Oh, whoa.
Terrible roll!
Yes!
Actually, it's just an action. You just give me a fortitude save. I was so excited to roll. It's just biting at your shadow.
I like the part where you rolled and rolled badly.
It can't miss.
Oh, no.
12.
That is a failure.
No!
So it bites at your shadow, and you are going to take maximum damage.
Oh, man.
8 points of piercing damage.
Whoa!
And
it's like a Peter Pan attack.
Yeah.
It's like swallowing a gobbet of your shadow. And it just, and it looks like it's getting stronger as it bit you.
That was half my HP.
Oh my God.
Yeah, this is going to be pretty nasty. If that's half your HP, this is going to be a short campaign.
For real.
And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to attempt to hide with my final action. And even though it's dim light, it has this ability known as Cloak of Shadows, which allows it to hide in dim light or darkness. So what is... if you want to attack them, you'll have to do a perception against their stealth DC. So
does it move?
No, it just stays right there. It's like hiding in plain sight. Because of its Cloak of Shadows, it's like you can't quite tell where it is. And now it's Brother Ramius's turn.
Brother Ramius is going to touch the pendant at his around his neck, and he's going to say, "Keep it, protect us, give us light." And he's going to cast light.
So that is going to emanate bright light in 20 feet around his pawn.
20 feet of bright light?
Yeah, that and then another 20 feet of dim light, but that should negate its hide.
Okay.
Because I'm right near it. And then he is going to... You
said 20 bright, 20 dim?
20 bright, 20 dim, and then he is going to stride behind Talitha.
Okay.
And that is his turn.
That's his turn. All right, it now moves to Gorga number two.
Oh.
All right, the creature that is to the south here, the Gorga, sees that light, doesn't like that. So I wonder how far I can move with the... Yeah, that'll be good. The territory...
This pulsing light is amazing, the way.
So
I actually can see it very faintly.
You can?
Oh, like, really?
It's really, really faint, but I can see the pulse. Yeah. It doesn't really change, but I can see it.
That's cool.
Those of you with dark vision might see the slight difference. So this creature is going to use this ability called Umbral Leap, where it just dematerializes and then appears right next to Zephyr.
Oh no.
How scary is that in the dark?
That's probably awful.
And then is also going to attempt to take a chunk out of your shadow. Give me a fortitude save.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
It is highway robbery that I don't have to roll to hit.
It really is.
Eating your shadow.
8 points. And I don't have a low HP.
And that wasn't even a crit fail.
14.
That's a regular old fail.
Okay, that's not the worst, I guess.
So that's going to be 6 points of piercing damage.
Okay, no problem.
Oh, we got to take these puppies down.
Here's the good news.
Why didn't you roll better initiative, Sydney?
I don't know. I rolled so bad.
There's only two of them that you can see.
I hate that.
Talitha, let's see what you got. You are flanked by Brother Ramius and the Gorga. It appears as if Brother Ramius is joined with the Gorgas.
All right, okay.
You're not flat-footed.
And the creature's no longer concealed, right?
Creature's no longer concealed because of that light.
Yeah. Right.
So first things first, I'm going to devise a stratagem.
Yes!
Go on.
Which I'll be doing with my backup character every single round.
So basically, I do a d20 roll, and I see if I would hit the creature, and I can choose to then use a separate action to attack if I want to.
It's a very cool ability.
So devising a stratagem, that is an 18.
That is a hit.
Okay.
Yes!
All right. So I also have an ability called Known Weakness.
Ooh.
Gnome Weakness.
Are these weak as a gnome?
I didn't realize they were. Well, they're also fey creatures, so perhaps they do have a weakness.
The gnomes in disguise.
So basically, I get a free recall knowledge check whenever I devise a stratagem.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
So what knowledge should I roll, Troy?
How about nature?
Okay. I happen to know a thing or two about nature. Talitha happens to know a thing or two about nature. Matthew knows very little. 12.
12.
We did do this before. We did roll on these guys.
You did, but this doesn't mean there isn't still more information.
No, obviously it won't matter now, but if I crit, I get bonuses with the known weakness.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I see a weakness and I get a plus one to hit.
With the 12, it's not going to give you anything extra. You know, from time to time, I may roll that for you and give you false information if you fail.
Really?
But I like having you roll.
Oh.
I'd be like, oh, they're weak to water.
I use my round to create water.
They laugh. They were thirsty.
Okay, I now... All right, so what Talitha's going to do is going to spend the action to do a strike with that hit.
Okay.
So I will. So that hits.
Rock and roll.
I'll do some damage here.
Oh, yeah!
It's going to be a D6. 6 points of damage.
Okay.
Nice.
And then Talitha is going to step away from this creature.
Step away from the creature. All right, you choose to step instead of stride, just in case it has any sort of attack of opportunity. Very cool. We will now move on to Lucky, the fighter.
Okay. So I'm new to playing a fighter. Intimidating glare, Matthew.
Yes.
That is the demoralize, so it is a one action John.
Yes. You just don't have to speak to use.
Right.
Gotcha. So I am going to, because these creatures will not understand me, use my intimidating glare with my cat eyes, which maybe they see like glowing.
Cat eyes scare me.
In the dark.
Terrifying.
Just the reflection. Like they're just like bright white for a second. And I am going to roll on that.
It's only one target.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. So I'm going to use it on the one attacking Zephyr.
All right. That's
going
to be an intimidation check against its will DC.
Okay. Intimidation. What do I have? Something good, I hope. Ooh, yeah, baby. That's a 17, 18, 19, 20, 21.
21 is a success. The target is Frightened One.
Yeah,
nice work.
And is this the one that is going after Zephyr, did you say?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
And then I am going to move up to it. I'm going to flank it, and I'm going to take a single... Can't use my double slice because I already had to move, but I'm going to take a single slice with my wakizashi.
Ooh, nice. Flanked and frightened.
And as a visual, it's kind of... A wakizashi is like a smaller katana. It's an agile weapon, so... Swing!
You're an agile weapon.
Here I go.
Here I go again.
Again.
That's a 20... Oh, wait. That's a 24.
Wow.
Frightened.
Wow.
Trap. One. And flat-footed. That is a critical hit.
Yes!
Awesome!
Yes!
Critical threat. Critical threat.
You really are lucky.
I just realized we're going to have to update that now for TV.
I know. I keep telling him. I told Nick. He says, I'm too busy editing Spider-Man at Marvel Comics.
It's just going to be critical hit. Critical hit. That's it.
Max damage.
Max critical damage?
So that's it's only a D4 from my wakizashi. I should have did my kopesh, but that's an 8 and then double dam. Let me see what the if there's like
it's
a
double damage.
Is okay. A critical
unless there's a critical
you,
effect.
I don't know.
I think you unlock the critical effects later.
Yeah, you just double.
Critical effect on the weapon.
Yeah. I'm just checking. Piercing critical, slashing critical. Nah, it's not. Oh no. Yeah, later it becomes deadly. At 1D.
That would be sweet. Oh, nice. But instead, it's 16 points of damage, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Double that. So.
Great.
Nice. It's a big, juicy hit.
Huge.
Is it dead?
No. No, it's very much alive. In fact, your hit made it more powerful. It is now Buggles' turn.
Okay.
I was just angry.
Buggles is... His eyes, like, under his hood, they flash blue. And he points at the one... That Lucky just attacked and unleashes a ray of frost.
Ooh, and that's a targeted ray, not a cone effect.
Targeted ray. That is a 10. That is a miss.
10 is a miss, yes.
And then with his, that's a two action spell. And then with his third action, he is going to cast shield on himself.
Nice.
Sing. Smart.
Sing.
All right, so a little boost to your AC just in case they decide to start switching targets. How about the end of round one? We go into round two. Zephyr, talk to me.
All right, let's see. This Gorga is right up on me, so I can't really use my longbow against it that I'm holding.
Straight away.
So I'm trying to decide, do I want to move away and then unflank it? Or I think I just want to get rid of one. That one's been hit the most. It's flanked. So what I'm going to do is free action. Do I want to do that?
Are you talking to yourself?
Yeah. I was going to free action drop my bow.
Oh.
But maybe I'll just use one action to just put it back on my... back, like put it to the side.
Okay. Is that a, would that be a manipulate action?
To just like
to sheath?
Equip my bow?
To stow your bow.
Yeah, I was figuring it takes one action.
Okay. Do manipulate actions trigger attacks of opportunity?
Yep.
Yeah.
It bites you.
Oh,
whoa.
Oh.
What the hell? The first thing we fight has got AOOs?
I would have dropped it.
I know. Well, now everyone knows. That they have this, and so you helped everyone.
Did we skip ahead to like a higher level?
But it is
to avoid part of the book.
This is classic LaValle. It's like we, 2 days before, study these creatures, get a high roll, like or just looking for any weaknesses or anything like that. It's like they can hide in the dark. Like knowing it's way more valuable to know if they have an AOO. That is so valuable.
I was ready to give that to you if you had hit the DC.
What was yours called again? Your ability?
Known weakness.
Yeah. I thought about putting that in the
known
book.
Strength.
And above all else, know this, that Gorgas have an attack.
Yeah.
This book
right
was
the
very
book.
Helpful.
It's a very specific book.
Hey, you know what? I might miss. Probably won't. 18.
Yeah, but you're frightened.
Miss.
And flatfoot. Nice.
It's a miss at 18?
Yeah, I got high dex. I'm a dex-filled monk.
All awesome. Right, so attack of opportunity, wasted.
Amazing. So you've stowed the bow.
Stowed the bow.
Stowing
and
the
then
bow.
I'm going to use
Stow the bow.
Like it's like an in-sync riff.
Stow the bow. I'm going to use
Francis.
Good old flurry of blows with my fists.
Okay. Oh, wow. Fist punching.
So you're going to punch this shadow demon.
I'm going to punch it.
I love it.
With my deadly fists. So first attack.
Whoops.
Fuck. It's a 10.
Get that shit out of here.
Second attack. Ooh, so that's a 19 to hit.
With the map!
With the map?
With the map?
Minus 4 or whatever.
Attack penalty?
For your second
attack. Yeah.
That is a hit.
Yes.
Wow. Awesome.
That's a hit. So that's 1d6 plus 3 with my fists. So that's 7 points of damage.
Wow.
And that's one action.
Wow.
Third action.
That's your second action. You stowed the bow.
She said that only was one.
Flurry of blows itself was one action.
Third action.
So how's it looking? Is it like on its last leg, you think? On its last leg, you think?
Knock its lights out.
It's got four legs.
Wait, I have a question. Why didn't you add the deadly die when you crit on the... If your weapon has a deadly trait, you just add the extra die, right?
Does it have the deadly trait, or does it say critical specialization?
Oh. Give me a second.
This matters.
Fucking second.
Literally 6.
Yes, it does.
It has the deadly D.
It has the agile deadly D. I thought it was saying you have to have it at a level where you roll a D8 for it to be deadly.
No. So if you has a deadly trait, on a critical hit, you add it, you double the damage, and then you add the extra die. So
that'll be really good to remember for the next time you hit a crit. And this is how they learn at home. This is the only way they learn.
You looked her in the eye and confirmed when she asked.
I was confused.
I know.
Because you
lied.
You can roll
deliberately misled the player.
Deliberately misled the player.
So
in my
confusing.
Defense, you can roll a flat check to see if you're confused at the end of your next turn. Kate, you have one more action left. What would you like to do?
This dog should be dead.
I'm just going to try my last action to hit it with my fists again.
Okay.
At a total of a -1.
Bwah.
Ooh, natural 20.
Oh!
Oh! Yeah! Dead. What happens? What happens? Natural 20?
It would be a 19, which would just be a regular hit. But
she rolled a nat 20.
A nat 20 so a turns hit. Into a critical hit. Yeah.
Awesome. So critical hit means
so
double.
Dead.
That was the universe.
Double damage.
That was
and
the
critical.
Universe
correcting.
Getting back at you for dissembling.
12 damage
You're
total.
You're so dead.
The dog is dead.
Punch
it right in the mouth.
Yes.
Oh,
and
phenomenal.
Its mouth flies off.
Oh my god.
Its mouth flies off.
What?
Yeah. Wow. A critical death hit.
Critical
lucky,
death hit.
Lucky is.
I have this ability, critical death hit.
Yeah. It says my fists are deadly. Damn, that's cool.
It's flavor.
Amazing. All right, so it is. It is out. It is out. It is dead, and now it is. Gorga 1's turn.
Gorga 1.
Gorga 1. Okay.
Flee, foul creature! Out of the light!
Gorga 1 is going to step up to Brother Ramius and take a bite of his shadow with the second action. Give me a fortitude save. Are you fortuitous?
If the light is emanating directly from him, does he cast a shadow? It is right on top of him.
That's an excellent point.
That is excellent.
I don't think
the shadow is cast up into the sky. Because the light is source is down here.
Yeah, I was going to consider this until you got stupid.
Damn, I shouldn't have gotten stupid.
Well, if you cast light, I mean, does your entire body emanate light? Or do you have a globe of light that is like in your hand?
It's emanating from my amulet.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I think where Talitha's standing there,
he's got a shadow.
This is a shadow.
Yeah. I would argue if you want to, I mean, there's no phasing in Pathfinder, but why are you doing this to me when I'm trying to help you?
Because it's going to be useless. He's
well,
never
shadow,
gonna help.
The shadow would only be would be cast in a behind him.
It would be behind him.
So he maybe the
right.
Maybe
does he have enough movement speed?
The dog might have to move instead
you
of step.
Have to deal with just roll the floor.
He has to move around me, which makes him pass through a threatened square. And everyone knows clerics have attacks of opportunity.
Several they can just cast.
I was really trying to make a good point.
It's the first combat. Give me a fortitude save.
All right, fortitude
with
save.
One hit. You didn't even have to roll the hit on. You almost killed me.
This is horrible.
That is a 7.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
That is a critical fail.
Oh, no.
Maybe you should have let me say my thing and then not be so silly.
Yeah, maybe instead of trying to jerk off in my face. Literally.
Oh, God. Matthew, I was rolling a dice.
Quit jerking off in Matthew's
face. You're watching too much free porn.
If only.
12 points of piercing damage.
This is so brutal, man.
And it gains back some HP.
Didn't lose any, did it?
This one did lose.
I poked it with my rapier.
You do notice every time it's eating these shadows, it's getting stronger. It's regaining some of its life back.
I can do that every round. Huh?
And now it's going to just take a regular old-fashioned bite out of old Matty Caps. Not out of you, out of your character. Let's see if he hits.
So I'm going to use a reaction.
Please.
Talitha. Like, she just, like, she closes her eyes, and her body just starts to flicker out of existence.
Whoa.
Roll flat check.
Oh!
Roll a flat check.
It's a concealment flat check, so was it?
Five.
Okay. Natural 20.
Okay.
At least that wasn't the hit.
So you hit me. So if you hit, you hit me when I come back into existence.
25 to hit.
Oh, yes, my.
That hits.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, yeah, big, big juicy roll. Not a crit, though. You don't have an AC of 15. Do you have an AC?
No.
Okay. All right.
I thought you were saying you don't have an AC.
7 points of piercing.
Oh.
A critical may have put you at dying.
I'm at one hit point.
One hit point for Talitha Breakwater. Will she die? Find out right after this word from our sponsor.
Oh, God.
We're back. And if there's one person that can save Talitha Breakwater... it's Brother Ramius.
Yeah, I mean, he's at 4 hit points. Like, he's done. Like, mm-hmm. This is so bad. Okay, he is going to... I don't know, what a weird feeling. What is this pain like? What kind of damage? It's piercing damage to your shadow?
Yeah, it's piercing damage. The way because I like to let you know how this stuff works. Attempts to tear away and swallow a goblet of shadow from a creature within reach. Fortitude save. So yeah, it's like, if you imagine like a part of your soul is attached to that shadow in a way. It's eating at you. It's ripping
like
away.
Like a dementor.
You have to get Wendy Darling to stitch it back.
Sew it back on.
Okay, he's just going to take a step up behind Talitha and just praying, keep us, save us. He's going to reach out to Talitha and he is going to cast heal on Talitha.
Oh.
So that is going to be
minimum healing.
Jesus!
Is anyone surprised? Minimum healing.
It's because your shadow is
but
broken.
What is the minimum?
Weak.
One?
Minimum is 9.
Oh. Okay, that's not bad. That's good.
I thought it was going to be, if you rolled a 1, I thought it was
going
to
be.
I had the chance to fully heal you. So shitty.
Minimum heal. First ever heal of the campaign. Minimum.
Sydney is asking.
Nice, Brother Ramius. Do the minimum possible you can for your allies.
I remember saying I was nervous for the first combat playing a fighter because I was like, what if I whiff? Like, I'm the one fighter. Didn't think about Joe screwing up a heal.
Whiffing healing.
None of you ever have to worry about being the worst character in the game. No one ever has to worry about that. And I'm done. Come on.
I'm so happy that you're playing a cleric. You just healed Talitha.
Even with that terrible,
amazing.
Shameful. Maybe don't tell your family
role.
About that role.
Yeah, Joe, come on.
I'm still a very heal.
If you didn't say it was the worst role, I don't think we would have known.
It was the least you could do.
Nice.
Talitha, hopefully you have enough energy to take an attack here, but you could just run in fear. What would you like to do?
I'm going
to
devise a stratagem.
I've heard of this ability.
Here's a question about devise a strategy.
I'll allow it.
So I think I roll with my normal to hit modifier, right? Because one of the benefits is if I succeed, I can add my intelligence modifier to my attack, right? So I keep the roll.
Yeah.
What? I mean, it makes a difference. It will make a difference here.
Let's read the devise.
You just roll the die.
Yes, I did.
And if you use a strike, that's the result of the die. That's all devise a strategy is.
It matters if I hit or not, if it would hit.
Choose a creature you can see and roll a d20. If you strike the chosen creature later this round, you must use the result of the roll you made to devise a stratagem for your strike's attack roll instead of rolling.
So I don't know.
You make this substitution only for the first strike you make against the creature this round, not any subsequent attacks.
Well, okay. You know that frightened and flat-footed was 14, was its AC, because 24 was a crit, right?
Yeah. Right. Okay. I get my free recall knowledge with this as well for known weakness.
You do.
Yep. So I'm gonna go and see if I get the crit.
Okay.
I do not get the crit. It would be a 14.
You know, I'm gonna give you something. They have attacks of opportunity.
You know what?
Oh wow.
Talitha's
good
like,
to know.
Talitha like remembers talking to Brother Ramius about his reading. It's like they have excellent reflexes.
And with that, you know, I'm gonna give you a little extra. You know that Wakizashis have the deadly great.
Oh man.
As well.
You are laying it on thick.
Well, so does my rapier, but unfortunately I don't think a 16 would be a critical hit, but it probably is a hit.
Are you using your devise a strategy?
I already did. Now I'm using a strike.
That is a hit.
Yes. Nice. Okay. Yes.
A pop of a hit.
Again, 6 points of damage.
Nice.
Six
every little bit
of damage. Yes, as this thing is gaining energy, every time it eats your shadow, you're going to need to lay it on. Do you have any other further actions?
Yes, I do have a further action, and I am going to just take another attack.
Yeah.
Because why not?
Why not?
And I rolled natural.
Oh! Oh!
Come yes! on. Yes!
Oh, critical wait, that threat. Is a critical.
My rapier is deadly.
Yes.
Oh! What does that give
you? It's just not ready. I don't have it.
It's not ready. All right.
All right.
That's going to be double damage, and you get the deadly. Could this be enough to just take this Gorga out?
Oh.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
I pulled a fan critical, and it actually says it just dies.
We win the game.
And that's from Kate.
What'd you get?
26 points of damage.
Oh, my God.
He did.
Yes!
So Talitha's wow. like, she's got, it's
my God.
Chomped on her shadow, then it chomped her really badly. She was close to, she got really woozy, felt the power of Brother Ramius' touch, and then was like, oh, no, I know where to hit it, and just stabs her rapier right through its open eye socket.
Oh, amazing.
And the Gorga dies.
Thank God for
so
that.
So you like
light.
Fight with your brain, sort of.
I do fight with my brain.
Fight with your brain?
That's crazy.
So do I, as a psychic.
Yeah, dude, the light was clutch because, you know, they get this, basically they can hide as their final action, which give them a bonus to their AC and their reflex. And you'd have to roll a DC 11 flat check to hit it unless you used a seek action. So, like, you'd have to start burning actions.
Yeah.
It really changes everything being able to do that. So, awesome. You are out of combat. Just standing here in waist-high grass and a little worse for the wear. There's obviously something still going on in the distance. But what do you want to do here? You're hurt.
Is anyone else hurt besides Brother Ramius?
Zephyr is.
You're hurt. Okay, so Talitha is going to pop out a couple of alchemical components and do a quick mix, a couple vials, and pass one off to Zephyr. It's an elixir of life lesser, I believe.
Nice.
Nice. Nice.
And I'll take one as well.
So that's two. Okay.
Lucky.
And that's all I have for the day.
Brother Ramius is going to fall down onto this rock.
Oh, sorry, I need a moment. I don't know what's wrong exactly. I'm not sure.
Oh, I'm sorry, it's elixir of life minor.
I was going to say, lesser is a lot.
Yeah,
minor,
yeah.
Minor.
Okay, 1d6.
1d6 plus one.
I will need some time to treat wounds.
So he's going to treat wounds on himself. Attempt to, anyway.
10 minutes.
10 minutes, yeah.
Oh, well, I assumed with the activity up ahead, we wanted to press forward.
Well, I was going
to
say...
I have 4 hit points, so I'm... What activity?
There's stuff going on.
Remember, there were people. There were, like, figures up ahead. We couldn't see what they were doing.
Lucky would like to stealth just to see what it is while you take time to heal so we're not, like, ambushed or something.
All right, so we have no time.
Well, you don't know. You don't know, you know, you've...
I'm going to sit down on this rock.
Sit down on your rock.
Wait. And he's going to attempt to treat wounds. I mean, he could easily fail. Natural 20! That's a crit!
Wow, that's
that
a crit!
That doubles the healing. That's amazing! Working on his own wounds. Oh, phenomenal. All right, great. So he'll be good. 10 minutes.
All right. So you take 10 minutes.
And then do you still want to stealth ahead or do you want to just move together as a party?
We'll move together. Maybe Lucky leads the pack. Her hair is like, you know, standing on end. And she's just like, there's something up ahead. Stay quiet.
Okay.
And Buggles is like, actually, I want to take the frightened condition.
What?
Because I'm like, Buggles is like really scared. Like this is the first kind of fight that he's had.
Those are dogs.
And they're dogs, yeah. Right. So he's just like shaking and trembling, like in the darkness. He's really scared.
Lucky looks back. Yeah, Buggles hasn't like moved. We've all walked away.
Yeah,
Buggles.
He's just like he's holding his like little cloak around him.
Oh. Are you all right?
Oh, I'm fine. I just never had anything like that happen to me before.
You can see Talitha, she's maybe hiding it a little better and covering it. It's all like her hand is shaking. Because I don't think Talitha's been in an actual fight before.
Yeah.
And she just almost got chomped to death and then killed something.
Yeah.
So those two things together, she's just like, it's like setting her, you know. Her
and this is a hell of a thing for this, just a hell of a beast to be the first thing that you fight. I mean, this is a very strange Lovecraftian kind of monster.
And he's like patching himself up. Nor I, Buggles. Nor I. I am more of a researcher. Not much for the field.
Brother Ramius, I wish I could help.
It's all right. I think I found it. Whatever that creature did, it was strange. I felt the pain, but I saw no blood. But I'm feeling better already. And he stretches a little bit and stands up and... Yeah, looks up toward the north. Now, he's going to... I'm not sure how light works. I mean, it gets so technical here. Like, if you can just dispel it at will, I don't know that.
I think so. I believe so.
It's a cantrip, right?
Some spells you can, some spells you...
And very few you can, I have found in 2E. It's like almost all spells you can't dispel, which is so weird.
Is it a cantrip?
I have a feeling that light you can, but let's see what it says in the actual spell here.
This is a duration until the next time you make your daily preparations.
Just stay... That doesn't seem right.
Yeah. The other thing you could do if you want to jury rig it is you could cast light on something and then put it in your pocket.
Yeah.
It would end the first...
Hover your amulet.
It's true. But it's okay.
Next time you make your daily preparations, that is.
Surely you can. Surely, if there is a light, you could. Let's look at
it. You cast it on your shirt, you should just go shirtless for the rest of the
day. Let me put my shirt in my pocket for a moment, real quick.
Yeah, you would know exactly how it works. You could also, where it's a cantrip, just cast light on a rock on the ground.
Yeah, it ends the other one.
It would end.
Right.
That's what I was saying. Just cast on something else and put it.
Throw it.
Yeah.
Cast it on her wakizashi.
Whoa.
We'll never find it in this high grass.
That's amazing.
Luckily, it's emitting light.
All right, Buggles, you're going to give yourself a role-playing penalty. Then I'm going to give you a bottle cap.
Oh, thank you.
All right. That is... That's yeah. I mean, you obviously would be overcome by this, but choosing to do that deserves a reward.
I don't think you can do. I don't think you can.
You can't.
Just cast it on a rock.
Literally, just cast it on a rock. Yeah. And it goes away.
You can hack the spell.
Yep.
Okay. So
I think that's silly, by the way. If that's true, that you can't just dispel it. I think
it's
that's
just
very
by
silly.
Raw. So Troy could do whatever he wants.
I mean, it's sure the fact that you can just go boom. You can do whatever.
But you shouldn't.
How about
have
I just to dismiss it?
I know that effectively we can do it. I just think that it's very silly if that's something you cannot.
It seems like an oversight.
Yes, it does seem like an oversight.
The duration I think is meant to be in the player's favor. So like, we're adventuring through this dungeon.
It's like
I don't
have to have this light for the rest
that's
of the day.
A good point. Yeah, every 2 minutes you have to cast light again.
Right, right. Yeah. All right. He's going to dismiss that light, so it'll go away, and he'll once again be plunged into darkness, trusting the vision of Talitha and Buggles to guide the way. And both of you are low light vision?
Yeah.
Kate?
I'm also low light, yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
Half elf, right?
Yep.
Half elf. All right. You're moving forward. Tell me what you're doing here. Obviously, there is activity. You do see bodies. It's still 150 feet away or so. How are you approaching? Are you guys doing anything special preparation-wise or...
You mean like crouch in the tall grass and move stealthily?
Yeah, so stealthily moving.
Yeah, and I have, it's an action, but I have my sharp-eared catfolk trait. So I can indicate a creature that, never mind. It really only works in combat. Basically, like if somebody can't see someone and they're hidden or they're undetected, I can point them out and they become hidden to other players with my sharp ears.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, that's very cool.
For flavor, I was going to say, can I perception listen if we can't see them yet to get a better idea of what's going on?
So as you're getting closer, you're using perception.
Yeah.
Whereas other people are using stealth.
Well, I would like to stealth perception up to get close enough to see.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not I think a...
You want to avoid notice.
Yeah.
And then can everyone do like the follow the expert thing?
No.
No?
Because we're not experts.
No, but if you're following the expert who
somebody
is,
has to be an expert.
Yeah.
And stealth.
Follow the expert.
So oh, no one's an expert? Okay.
I'm not an expert.
I'm only
an expert
trained also. Perception.
Me too?
Yeah.
Nobody likes a braggart.
All right, so you start moving forward.
I still have this light on if you want to take it off.
I have my bow in my hand again.
Yep.
Just in case.
Wakizashi and Kopesh as I cut through the grass.
Rapier.
Silently.
And Buggle's little teeth are chattering.
Oh.
Like it's very, very quiet, but it's like, you just hear this little like clacking sound as he's
Skid. Every time you either talk about Buggles, do something as Buggles, I just look at this amazing art.
Oh.
It's so good.
I showed it to my nephew and it's just like, I love him.
Oh. So you start moving forward in the direction, the arch ahead of you getting larger and larger as you move forward. Get about halfway from the clearing's edge, maybe about 100 feet away from whatever's going on up there. And Lucky, you notice the air around you with your cat-like senses. The air around you and the plants ahead of you are wavering and shifting a little bit. It's almost as if up ahead, just in front of you, there's a shadowy line splitting the clearing in half from where you're standing to the other side, where they are. And the tall grass ahead of you looks dark and colorless, almost like you're looking at a charcoal sketch of the scene in front of you.
Oh my
God. Oh, wow.
That's cool.
Can I see through it? But it's
see
just
see through it perfectly,
dark.
But everything up ahead of you is like...
It's like a filter.
It's like a filter, like everything is monochromatic, and you just can feel the air moving and the plants moving very strangely as well.
Can I do Arcana?
It was like recall knowledge.
Yeah.
16.
Natural 20.
Oh, there you go.
On Arcana. It seems like whatever is happening up ahead is causing some sort of cross-planar seepage to enter the world. And as you look down at your feet, you see this black and white world start to submerge you.
Oh my God.
Also, it's expanding.
And we'll see you next week.
Oh, oh God. We're like becoming sketched characters.
like the SpongeBob. Yeah.
We
take
become two.
On me. Oh my God.
It's time to make your membership official. Become an official member of The Naish today at jointhenaish.com. That's jointhenaish.com, where you'll get access to exclusive podcasts and live streams you can't find anywhere else. See what everybody's talking about and join The Naish today at jointhenaish.com.